and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Forsake me
until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come.
Thank you.
us pray.
O Lord, keep your family, the Church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the sixth chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
Your great is the glory of the Lord.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increased.
And all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard the words from your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
The high he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 14th chapter. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father.
and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men alive." This is our text. Trapped. That must have been how Isaiah felt. Here he was simply going about his work in the temple as a priest when suddenly the veil between heaven and earth lifts. The whole building shakes. A cloud fills it. And he sees things as they really are. He sees the Lord God on his glorious throne. He sees the seraphim, fiery angels with six wings circling that throne in worship. He hears their call, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The Lord is holy. His angels are holy. The temple is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah is, well, what is Isaiah? He's terrified. Caught. That's how Peter must have felt. Caught. He was simply cleaning his nets after a terrible night of fishing when Jesus suddenly gets into his boat, tells him to put out into the sea, and then begins to teach the crowds along the shore. So far, so good. But it's what happens next that really puts the fear of God into Peter. "Put out into the deep and let down your nets," Jesus says. It goes against Peter's experience. He'd already tried that all night long. It goes against a lifetime of knowledge. But he does what the Master says anyway. He trusts the word of Jesus. So they lower the nets. The nets begin to fill. Then they begin to stretch. And then they start to break under the weight of the catch. Something fishy is going on. They draw the nets in. They fill one boat. They fill a second boat. The boats even begin to sink. And then Peter sees things as they really are. Not like Isaiah, God enthroned, but rather the Lord who made the sea and everything in it. That God sitting right there next to him in a boat full of fish. The weight of it is too much. Peter is terrified. "Who can endure the day of his coming?" says the prophet Malachi. "Who can stand when he appears?" Isaiah will tell you, "Not me. I can't endure the day of his coming. I can't stand when he appears." A cry of despair just comes tumbling out of his mouth. "Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What is Isaiah? Trapped in the temple with the Almighty God, he knows what he is. He's a goner. He's dead meat. Peter, too, gives the same answer. "Who can stand?" "Not me." He can't stand. He falls to his knees and grasps a hold of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Yes, he's sinful and unclean. And he knows that he has no place being in the same boat with God incarnate. Caught in the net that Jesus cast for him, Peter is a struggling, flopping fish, gasping to be thrown out, released into the darkness of the depths. Do you sense the weight of what Isaiah and Peter feel? I find it a bit surprising, because the times that I have felt like that are times when I've been caught red-handed, or times when I've been called out explicitly for something I've done. But that's not the case with them. It's not like Isaiah was doing something nefarious in the temple, or Peter was doing something wrong when he was fishing. They're not caught red-handed in the act, as sometimes happens, and we should be glad when it does. This isn't a divine visit that's a surprise when they're engaged in some explicit sin, overheard slandering a neighbor, or caught with porn. And this isn't God calling them out directly for their sins. You don't see God on his throne in heaven with a laundry list of all the things Isaiah has done wrong. You don't have Jesus ticking off a list of Peter's sins. They're just going about their life. Going about their life, doing their regular work, when God suddenly shows up and they're exposed before him. It's the holiness of God that makes them acutely aware of their own uncleanness and their own unholiness. Jesus sees right through to the bottom, to the bottom of the sea where the fish are swimming in a school, and to the very, very bottom of Peter's heart, where his sin resides. Which of us can stand in the presence of a holy God? Do you have clean hands, a pure heart, holy lips? What does your heart tell you, your covetous and grumbling heart? What do your lips tell you, your lying and hurtful lips? What do your thoughts tell you, your impure and unrighteous thoughts? And what about your hands and your feet? Can you stand before God? Isaiah and Peter were right. Woe is me. Depart from me. But they were also very wrong. Isaiah was unclean and he was lost. But he was not lost. For in the depth of his sin and fear, God sent salvation to him. One of those angels circling around the throne left its loop and went to the altar and took in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he flew right at Isaiah. And he touched his lips with that coal. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. The Lord didn't bring Isaiah before him in this vision to destroy him, but to save him. And he is saved by the offering upon the altar. When it touches his lips, his sin and his guilt and his uncleanness are gone. And he's given new life. He's given hope. The same thing happens for Peter as well. He was right in confessing that he is a sinful man. There's no doubt about it. But the Lord will not depart from him. The Lord will not leave him in his sin. Instead, Jesus says to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Those are also words of an absolution. Don't be afraid in the presence of the Lord, for Jesus has not come to destroy, but to save. To save by being the offering that touched Isaiah's lips from the altar of the cross. To save by being the sacrifice for guilt and the atonement for sin as the Lamb of God. Don't be afraid, for Jesus has and will take your sin away. He came to give Peter, to give you, to give all the world new life and hope. And those words that Jesus spoke, "Don't be afraid," they came and they touched Peter's ears. And they did for Peter what they said. He was no longer afraid. He was bold. He was confident. So also for us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, at the beginning of every divine service, we take our place with Isaiah and with Peter. We put their confessions into our mouths. We say that we are sinful and unclean. We cry out, "Woe is me, for I am lost. a lost and condemned person. We confess that we have no right to be here and to stand in the presence of God. We confess that we deserve only punishment now and eternally. But as with Isaiah, as with Peter, our Lord comes not to destroy us or condemn us, but to forgive and save us. Like Peter, he speaks his words, "Don't be afraid, your sins are forgiven." They touch our ears. He raises us to new life and to hope. Like Isaiah, the sacrifice from the altar of the cross touches our lips, and our guilt and our uncleanness are gone. Gone. For they are taken by our Lord, and we are given his holiness and his life. Isaiah and Peter are transformed. "Woe is me," Isaiah says, but by the end he's saying, "Here I am, send me." Peter begins by saying, "Depart from me," and ends with him leaving everything to follow Jesus as a fisher of men. Yet this is not the only wondrous thing that God does. It's not just the Isaiahs, not just the Peters that he would send and use. God does not look for the holiest and the best and the most righteous of people. He doesn't seek the strongest and most steadfast. He takes the unknowns like Isaiah, the ordinary people like Peter, and he uses them for his work. Uses them to proclaim his word as prophet and apostle. And what a prophet Isaiah was. His book is sometimes called the fifth gospel, because we see depicted in the book of Isaiah the prophet in the most vivid fashion the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially his suffering and death. He proclaims the very coal that touched his lips and took away his sin. And Peter, his role is also well known, the first among equals of the apostles. And even though he keeps messing up, you know all those stories. He looks away when he walks on water instead of at Jesus. He tells Jesus that he'll never die. He denies his Lord 3 times. And still our Lord continues his great and wondrous way. He restores Peter. And it's his sermon on Pentecost before 3,000 plus people that proclaims Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. You also have been and are being mightily transformed by our Lord. The love, the forgiveness, and the life of Jesus is not without power for Isaiah or for Peter or for you. And though you are not the holiest, though you are not the best or the strongest or the most steadfast or the most righteous, still the Lord will use you. He may not have called you to be a prophet like Isaiah, or an apostle and fisher of men like Peter, but he has called you into your life. He has called you into your vocations, into your home, into your workplace, into your community, into your church. And he calls you to do his work there. Calls you to speak his word to your family members. He calls you to be a friend and a neighbor, serving others with love. He calls you to be a boss or a worker to provide for others through you. He has called you to be a Christian, one who takes the forgiveness that he gives and shares it with others. And in doing these things, you are just as important as Isaiah or Peter. And Jesus is using you in ways that you know and in many ways that you may not yet know. We see that the Almighty God of heaven, the holy God that struck fear into the heart of Isaiah, he has come down to earth in the person of Jesus. The God who can even command fish to swim into nets. And so he has done with us. He has called us into his net, not to strike terror into us, but to save us. Not to throw us out or send us away, but rather to gather us in and bring us home. He has caught us in his net that he might make us clean, make us his, give us his holiness, even as he takes our sin. And what is the result of all this? We now do what Isaiah couldn't do at first. Now we open our lips, no longer unclean, but forgiven and made holy. And we join the song of the angels which they sang around the throne of God. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And we come to his altar rather than shrink away. For he is here in grace and mercy. He is here to forgive. We join the whole company of heaven. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." No longer are we lost, but we have been found by his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Prosper the work and callings of our missionaries in Eurasia, especially Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, the Reverend Dr. John and Melinda Bombaro, and Reverend Soren Trippa. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Stan Thompson, Carol Bond, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Thaw, Jackie Gordon, Carl Hartwell, Richard Heiskin, Randy Hunter, Rosemary Jackson, Nancy Kengis, Nancy McTye, John Meyer Jr., Joe Zaneski, Gino Simeone's Aunt Annie, and Kathy Dwiggins. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Receive our thanks for the birth of Isaiah Matthew to Matt and Kaylee. Be with their family. Give to them good health and preserve this child as he awaits the new birth of holy baptism. Be with also all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Stephanie Miller and Kristen Gregory, and grant your comfort to all who mourn, especially those who have suffered the loss of miscarriage. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These, and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you.